I ask him, so what do you believe when you die?
And he goes, then the judgment. And I go, so do I, but I am not going to approach the throne of grace without the blood of Jesus. There's still power in the blood. That's this song.
This morning. All right. While he's coming up here, I'll remind you that next Sunday is going to be it's going to be the last Sunday that we have to get up early to get to church. After that, you're going to get to sleep in an hour more.
Then you get to go home in the dark.
All right.
Good morning, everyone. You know, our Lord Jesus is called by many names in the Bible. Wonderful, Counselor, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. But there's one title that always touched my heart. I just think of His Majesty and Him sitting on that throne. And that is the Holy One of Israel. Praise God. You know what? No matter what name you call them, each one of them is excellent. Please.
Oh, Lord.
All right. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 146. Psalm 146. I love the Psalms. Last Wednesday night we were reading several of the Psalms. This one is a good one. You'll appreciate this, I'm sure. By the way, at 6 o'clock every Wednesday evening, we have our Bible study here. We're studying about the life of David. It's quite exciting in the Old Testament. Invite all of you to come out and be with us in that service. Psalm 146 begins, "Praise ye the Lord." Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Now verse 5 is going to be our text today. I'm going to go ahead and read the entire psalm, but listen at this one. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is. It's based upon God's creative ability. He who created all things by the word of his power, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Now, let's look here for a few minutes about verse 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. I want to talk about help, hope, and happiness today in this message. Help, hope, and happiness. It kind of reminds me of the other day I was in Ralph's Superstore and a supermarket up here and shopping around while my wife was putting things on the shelf. I was just taking down, you know, I like to read labels. and we're in the cereal department and you've got, if you look on the side of the cereal box there, it tells you that if you'll eat that kind of cereal, that you'll meet the minimum daily requirements. And I said, that's what I need, a minimum daily requirements. And I think that's what this verse is. This is the minimum daily requirement for spiritual health. Help, hope, and happiness. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. You know, no matter how capable or how efficient you may be, there are still times when you need assistance. You need help. Now, I don't have much mechanical ability. I used to change a battery and change spark plugs and work on carburetors. Cars don't have those things anymore. I used to change my own oil. Now then, I don't even know where to take it out and put it in on these new motors that they have. So when it comes to mechanics, I need help. If something happens to my car, I have to have a friendly mechanic down here to help me out. And likewise, I don't have much computer skills. So whenever I need help on my computer, I bug Brother David back there usually. And wake him up at night. I got a problem, David. Help me out here. And likewise, I kind of halfway take care of my health. If I get a headache, I know to take an aspirin or something like that. But sometimes if it gets a little more serious, I feel like I need some expert help. So I go off down here to Kaiser and I see Dr. Wesley. And I rely on him for my physical health, you know. But really and truly, we depend on an awful lot of people in this world for help every day. We were made aware of this the other day when the electricity went off. How thankful we are to people who keep our electric lights on. Makes you appreciate things like that. And the telephone. Your telephone goes out of whack, you can't pick it up. In just the short time that our electricity was off, I couldn't make any telephone calls because my telephones are all hooked up somehow to the electric currents. And how about the people that keep water coming into your house? I can remember when I was a boy, when we needed water, we went out to the well, and it was about 60 feet down there, and you had to let a bucket on the end of a rope down, and then you had to pull it up and draw it up to get water. But nowadays, I'm spoiled. You just go in here and turn on a tap, and the water just comes out. But you know, there's a lot of people behind the scenes making that water come out the spigot. An awful lot of them. And you go to the grocery store. Look at the work that people... You got the farmer out in the field that had to plant and farm the crop, and you got the harvesters that go in and get it, and then they take it and they can it, and it goes through a dozen hands before it finally gets on the grocery shelves. I'm talking about help. You don't go out into the field anymore and pick beans like I used to. Just go in the grocery store and take a can of beans off the shelf. It's a lot easier that way. We depend on a lot of people. When we came to church this morning, we drove our cars. Somebody had to go out there and poke a hole in the ground and pull the oil out. Somebody else had to refine it, turn it into gasoline, and sell it to us, and we fuss because we pay $4 a gallon for the stuff. Go out there and try to make it yourself. We need help. Read our daily newspaper. We need somebody to tell us what's going on in the world. Help! But, you know, there's one whose help is far above all. And that one is the God of Jacob. He's our help. He can do for us what nobody else can do. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 46 and verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. We almost had a break-in here at the church. Discovered it yesterday. Somebody had come up here and tore some screens off the windows and trying to get into the building. Maybe they wanted to come in to pray. P-R-E-Y. Yeah. But anyway, we call the police. And they are there to protect and to serve. Well, that's kind of a form of help, isn't it? So they came up and they got some fingerprints and evidence and such as this and put it in their files. But God is our help. He's a very present help in time of trouble. And he says to us in Psalm 121, verse 2, "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Amen. The Creator, the divine Creator, takes time out from whatever he's involved in to come down and help little old us when we get in trouble. Now that's pretty good. You're getting it from high up. You and I trust people sometimes, and those people fail us. That's what the psalmist said here. And it's the same way on the other side of the coin. Sometimes we fail others who depend on us. But when we put our trust and our faith in the Lord, he gives us the kind of help that never fails. Now I want you to notice here that he is called the God of Jacob. Now the psalmist could have called him the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Israel. But he called him the God of Jacob. And that's a great encouragement to me, because Jacob was the guy that was always in trouble. He had more trouble than anybody else. I mean, even when he was being born, his brother was born before him and he grabbed a hold of his heel. Remember that? And then he wanted the birthright from his brother Esau. Esau was hungry and Jacob was cooking up some stew. And so he said, "All right, I'll trade you a bowl of stew for your birthright." And Esau traded it. And a little later on, he wanted the blessing of the firstborn. So he disguised himself and went in and stole his brother's birthright, or his blessing of the firstborn, from Esau, from his daddy Isaac. He deceived him into giving him his blessing. And of course, he and his brother didn't get along very well, and he had to leave home for about 20 years. And while he was gone from home, he decided to get married. And so he worked for his future father-in-law for 7 years for this girl's hand in marriage. And he walked down the aisle there. She's so pretty, dressed up in her white gown and veil over her face. And they went through the ceremony. Whenever the preacher says, "You may kiss your bride," old Jacob raised that veil up like that, and he looked into the face of her sister. He'd been deceived. And he had to work 7 more years for the hand in marriage of the one that he really wanted to marry in the first place. Well, I'll tell you, Jacob had his problems. He was alone in an unfriendly world. His brother didn't like him. But yet God blessed him. God protected him. God directed his life and met his every need. When other men wanted to hurt Jacob, God always stepped in and delivered him and protected him. And God went ahead and fulfilled all of his purposes for Jacob, even making him the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. Even though Jacob was sometimes a disobedient man, yet God still helped him and saw him through all of his troubles. Happy is the man who has the God of Jacob to help him out when he gets in trouble. So there's a word of encouragement for us here. The God of Jacob is our help. Over in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 6 tells us, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. When we cast our burden upon the Lord, by faith we receive the help that He alone can give us. And there are times when we need divine help. So we can say, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help. He's always with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. A very present help when I'm in trouble. Now, we've looked at the help that God gives us. Let's think about hope. Hope. Sad to say, there are millions upon millions of people in the world today who have no hope. They are without hope. They have nothing to live for, nothing to look forward to. No hope. That's the reason why today there are so many people that are committing suicide, because they see no purpose in life. They have no goal, they have no aim, no purpose, they have no hope in this world or in the world to come. And so they decide to just end it all. Life becomes so unbearable that they'd rather die than to live. They have no hope. But when you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you always have hope. You read your Bible, and you won't read through a single chapter, but what you will find, hope. Something that will sustain you. Something that will strengthen you. Something that will encourage your soul. Because of the Christian, hope is not a mirage. It's not blind optimism. Hope is a person. And our hope is Jesus Christ. In fact, Hebrews 6:19 tells us that our hope in Christ is an anchor to the soul. Think about that. Most of us are close enough to the ocean, we're familiar with ships and boats and anchors, aren't we? That anchor in Christ will never slip. It will never fail. The Christian can rejoice in hope because he knows that his future is secure in Christ. Our hope in Christ is based on the Word of God. Because we believe His promises, we experience His hope. No matter how dark the night, we still have the light of His Word to encourage us. And when sorrow and fear and pain, suffering comes in like a cloud and covers our lives, we can always go to the Word of God and we will find words of hope and encouragement for our soul. Let me give you a history lesson. Brief. It was the year 1519. Long time ago. A fellow by the name of Ferdinand Magellan. Remember hearing about him in school? He started out on a ship to make a voyage around the world. Took him a long time. In fact, he never made it. His ship did, but he didn't. After 3 years, he was killed in the Philippines. But his ship completed the journey successfully. But here's something you probably didn't know. When Magellan started out on that cruise, me out, he took 35 compasses on board ship with him. 35 of them. Now, he wasn't taking any chances on getting lost. He'd never been around the world before. And he didn't really know the way. He was sailing uncharted waters. And he wanted to make sure that he could find his way there and back. 35 compasses. He knew that a ship without a compass was doomed. And so is a life without hope. The Word of God is the light that encourages us, and it's also the compass that guides us. There may be nights that are cloudy and dark, and you can't get a reading from the stars. You have to go to that compass. The Holy Spirit says, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." That's our compass to guide our lives. Of course, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have no hope. You have no hope whatsoever. It's only when you accept Him in your heart and into your life that hope comes. And the Christian never has to lose hope because he has a Savior who walks with him and guides him into the future. Psalmist David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." That's hope. That's hope. And when you have Christ, you have help and you have hope, so that the present and the future are taken care of. And the next thing is what? "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Happiness. It's no wonder then that the Christian can experience happiness, because he has present help from the Lord and he has hope for the future. Help and hope are the ingredients of happiness. What is happiness? Well, you see a lot of little signs that says happiness is so and so. They're very clever, but sometimes they're just kind of shallow definitions of happiness. To the Christian, happiness is that wonderful feeling of well-being that comes when you're dependent upon God's help and living in His will. If we're depending solely on our help and living according to our will, we're going to fail and we'll not have true happiness. Because happiness is a byproduct. If you look for it, you'll never find it. But if you determine to trust Christ and obey His blessed word, then happiness will come your way. Happiness is not a commodity that you can purchase in a store. Walmart doesn't even carry it. Go down and check them out. It's not something that you can... If you get a hold of it, you can't put it in a fruit jar and seal it up and save it for a rainy day. Jesus said, "A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesses." In fact, some of the most miserable people in the world today, you'll find, are depending upon their accumulated wealth. Happiness is not found in things. A lot of people think it is. They're looking for it. You've got people in the United States that say, "If I had all the money in the world, I'd be happy." And they try to get it. And some of them doing a pretty good job of it too. But they're not happy. A person once told me about a rancher that lived up here around Lake Elsinore. Said he was worth about $350 million. But poor old fella had terminal cancer and Alzheimer's. Well, that's a double whammy, isn't it? He had all that money. He had no children. Had no heirs. No one to leave his wealth to. He started out about 240 pounds. By the time he died, he weighed 123. Had great wealth. But he didn't have happiness. He could afford the best doctors. He could buy the best medical help. But they couldn't cure him. So he died alone. Without help. Without hope. And without happiness. Happiness is not found in thrills, because thrills never last. When you get off the merry-go-round, the thrill is gone. I thank God for happy memories, and I treasure them. But you know, God doesn't want us to go through life looking in the rearview mirror. What do you need right now? Do you have a need? Do you need help? Happy is the man, or woman, or boy, or girl that has the God of Jacob for his help. Do you need hope? Happy is he whose hope is in the Lord his God. If you have God's help and God's hope, I believe you'll also experience God's happiness. You'll find peace and rest and comfort in your soul. God will give you help for today, hope for tomorrow, and you'll have happiness in your heart as a blessed byproduct of God's wonderful, matchless, marvelous grace. Help, hope, and happiness. Thank God for this wonderful psalm and for the faith to believe it and to trust Him. Let's stand together, please, as we look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we realize today as we look at this verse that it's given to us as a present reality. This is like money that we can take to the bank. We can count on it. It's true. We have you for our help. And if there's one today that's having a problem that they can't solve, and it's bigger than they and their friends and those that they look to for advice, they find no solution. We come to you, Lord, for help, knowing that you can do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And Lord, we thank you today for the hope that you've given us. A hope that inspires us, that gives us courage. We thank you for the faith to believe that Jesus is coming again. We have a hope that when this life is over, we will spend eternity with you in a better place. And that help that you give us and that hope that you give us brings joy and happiness and peace to our souls. If there's one today that's having problems in his life, that's facing troubles, doesn't know what to do or where to turn. I pray today that he'll turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, that very present help in time of trouble. If there's one here today that is without hope, I pray that that one will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope, and will trust him and rely upon him to take care of their future and give them happiness. Make us a happy people. Encourage us with your blessed word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
487.
Number 487 in your hymn book. Let's sing a verse of invitation. Someone may need to come this morning.
Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord.
Will you come today? Appreciate you being here this morning. Thank you for the attention you gave to the preaching of God's word. Remember that verse. It's very precious, easy for you to memorize, and will come to you sometimes when you need it. You remember that the God of Jacob is a very present help in time of trouble, and he is our hope. That's the anchor for our soul. And when we have his help and his hope in our hearts, we're going to have happiness. We're going to put a smile on your face and put joy in your soul. Remember the service tonight at 6 o'clock. We're going to be preaching tonight about God of the Valley. That portion of scripture that inspired old Tracy Dart to write a song about God. Buddy sings it, and Naomi sings it every once in a while.
I like it when Tracy sings it.
Yeah, I like it when he sings it too. We're going to have him out here one of these days too, aren't we? In April, remember that. God of the hills and God of the valleys. We're going to be preaching about that tonight. So read that scripture, it's in your bulletin, and come prepared for a blessing from God's word. Remember the Wednesday night, 6 o'clock Bible study. As we're dismissed in prayer this morning, Brother Sam Burton, will you lead us, please, in our benediction? God bless you.